In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. The Church remembers this day as the occasion when Jesus' promises about the Holy Spirit were clearly and publicly fulfilled in those earliest Christians. It is an event which continues to resonate and have effect in our lives today, changing us, changing our lives. We discussed last week how St. Thomas has been preparing our graduating seniors for the changes ahead in their lives. In just the same way, Jesus has been preparing his disciples for the changes that are coming to their lives. Now, Jesus is going to die. That's true enough. But it's okay. Because 3 days later, Jesus will be alive again. The big change that Jesus is preparing the disciples for is that Jesus will be alive in a different way. A way in which he is no longer bound by space and time the way that most of us are. And even more, God will soon thereafter leave off altogether, visiting the disciples in the form of a man named Jesus. And in his place, Jesus says, Jesus is going to send them an advocate, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. Now, this for me is one of those mysterious sayings in the Bible, one of those that always makes me scratch my head and wonder. Why is it better for the disciples that Jesus goes away? Why does Jesus have to go in order to send the Holy Spirit? Right? Can Jesus and the Holy Spirit not be in the same room without fighting? It's very strange. I wonder if Jesus had to go away before the disciples would be ready to recognize the Holy Spirit. I wonder if the physical presence of Jesus, especially the resurrected Jesus, was maybe so powerful, so overwhelming, so awe-inspiring, that there would be no space left in the disciples' attention to notice the still, small, quiet voice of God speaking within. Maybe Jesus had to go away, not because of any limitation on Jesus' part, but a limitation on the disciples' part. Maybe Jesus had to create the space for them to see this quiet, subtle, new, and even better thing that God was doing in their lives. When the Holy Spirit came, Jesus' ministry and fellowship would no longer be limited to those who could find him wherever he happened to be at a particular moment. You know how he would go off to pray and the disciples would say, "Where have you been? We've been looking for you." Jesus' presence would no longer be limited to that little clump of disciples gathered around him. Disciples of Jesus would no longer have to leave Jesus behind if they wanted to go home and take care of their families, or go to work and go out fishing on the Sea of Galilee, or maybe even be sent off into some foreign mission field to proclaim the good news in some other place. Jesus was going to change things so that all of his followers, even as we came to number in the millions and to be spread around the globe, so that all of Jesus' followers could enjoy the fellowship of God continually and see the works of God manifest in each of our lives, no matter where we are. Jesus left and sent the Holy Spirit so that he could be closer with all of his disciples, no matter how numerous we would come to be. Jesus was not tired of his disciples. He didn't need a vacation from his disciples. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so that no matter where and when you live, Jesus can be present and vital in your life. And in our gospel reading tonight, Jesus goes on to talk about what it means for the Holy Spirit to be present and vital in your life. What does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? Jesus said that the Holy Spirit enters into a person, into any person in the world, and it convinces or even convicts that person of three things. The Holy Spirit convicts a person of sin. And while sometimes we think of sin as encompassing all sorts of mistakes and transgressions, really, in the Gospel of John, there is only one fundamental sin that the Holy Spirit is most concerned to address. That is the sin, the misalignment, the mistake of not believing in Jesus. All the other things in your life that you might understand as sin, they might be problems, sure enough. But chiefly they are problematic in the ways that they interfere with your ability to believe in Jesus and in Jesus' love for you. That's what the lie of sin does. Separates us, makes us think that Jesus doesn't love us. And so the Holy Spirit will convict us about sin. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will convince a person about sin and also about righteousness. Now, Jesus was the only example ever of a truly righteous person. And the bodily example of Jesus practicing righteousness was about to be absent from our sight forevermore. But the Holy Spirit would take over the job of teaching us about righteousness, about ways of living that are faithful to our citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. And so it is the testimony of the Holy Spirit deep inside each of our hearts that teaches us what it means to live as God's people, teaches us righteousness. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come and it would convince us about sin and about righteousness and about judgment. That doesn't sound good. The ruler of this world, said Jesus, has already been judged. In other words, the things that hurt us, the forces of inequality and prejudice and violence, these have all been condemned by God. And they are already mysteriously passing away. And so when we are tempted to feel overwhelmed by the latest tragedy in the Middle East, or by the most recent paroxysm of insanity here in our own country, when we are troubled by broken relationships in our own families, or beaten down by unfair policies in our workplace or by our healthcare providers or even by our church, in the midst of every expression of injustice and wrong and hurt, the Holy Spirit is here to remind us that God knows. God is aware. God sees, God hears, God understands, and God has already condemned those things that hurt us and hurt our neighbors. And those injustices will be brought to an end by God's own strong arm of compassion. Jesus told his disciples, he had a lot more he wanted to tell them, but they just weren't ready yet. They couldn't hear it yet. And so, the Holy Spirit, remember we're talking about the Holy Spirit was going to come and continue the teaching ministry of Jesus and lead those disciples into the truths of God's kingdom. The Holy Spirit, my friends, is still at work today in you and in me, in our church, in the world around us, completing, finishing, bringing to perfection, bringing to maturity the work that Jesus began. It is better for you and for me that Jesus be present in the Spirit so that Jesus can travel with you wherever you go without having to leave me or anyone else alone, even for a moment. God is completing the work of Jesus in you and in me through the Holy Spirit that was given to us in baptism. And so now we live in the season of Pentecost. Even when we're celebrating Advent or Christmas or Epiphany or Lent or Easter, we're still in Pentecost. We are living in the age of the Spirit, the age of the Holy Spirit who has come, and we are recipients all year round of that advocate, that encourager, that Spirit of truth. And so like our church bell, the Holy Spirit rings out from St. Thomas to bring good news to everyone around us. Today, the Holy Spirit is changing lives. And those changes begin with God's Holy Spirit at work deep inside you and inside me. Amen.